This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to The Morning Run. I'm Roshan Kunnison, and with me in studio this morning, Noel Lim and Kusu Chuang. In about 15 minutes, we'll be speaking to Azulita Zalim, Director General of the Farmers Organization Authority, on the impact of the MCO to the agricultural producers. And in the meantime, we've also got a poll running. Are you satisfied with how the government has been handling the COVID-19 pandemic? Let us know over on Twitter at BFM Radio. Now, and before we now we get to the markets, Noel, how did the US do when it closed a few hours ago?
Well, the Dow Jones closed up 2.2%. The S&P 500 was up about 2.3%. I think it was helped by energy stocks. I think they were the best performers. Nasdaq closed up 1.7%.
Well, for the Asian markets, with the exception of the Japanese Nikkei, which is down by 1.5%, the rest of Asia was up. And I think the highest gains was recorded by the Chinese on the Shanghai comp, with a gain of 1.7%.
Yes, and I see the STI Singapore closed 0.5% up. The KLCI closed 0.6%. Chuang, the KOSPI closed up 2.3%, actually.
Oh, yes, so they did. So, good for the Koreans. So
good for the Koreans, good for the... I think it's something to do with manufacturing, maybe. But right now, for more on markets, we speak to Carlos Casanova, Chief Asia Economist with Coface, based out of Hong Kong. Carlos, thanks for taking the time to speak to us this morning. Now, weekly US jobless claims hit another record high last night. What are the implications for Asia?
Good morning. So yes, we saw another record for a second consecutive week in March, with unemployment, jobless applications increasing by double compared to last week. And that is really pointing towards a much, much higher unemployment rate figure for the month, which is currently at 3.5% in the US. We do expect that to increase quite a bit, which of course will have implications for Asia. On the one hand, it does hint towards much more aggressive monetary policy easing, or much more permanent easing in the USA, which can be beneficial for Asian markets, because it does mean that there's a little bit less pressure on the outflow front. There's a little bit more room to do easing in this part of the world. However, it is also pointing towards a much more pronounced contraction in activity in other parts of the world, a much sharper recession in the U.S. And of course, the U.S. is a key export market for many economies in the region, including China, who are only just now coming out of the thick of it with the COVID-19 outbreak.
So China's March manufacturing PMI beat expectations. What other signposts are you looking out for that might show China is actually starting to recover?
So, correct. The March data actually contributed to there being a little bit more optimism in the market. We have to keep in mind that although the overall gauge was in positive territory, and that's compared to a very sharp decline in February, we did see the export and import subcomponents of the March PMI data remain in contractionary territory. So while China's factories did return to somewhat of a normal operation, as we've seen with figures in the USA on the export front, that pressure remains there. We can also, according to official figures, see that about 75% of businesses are operational again. However, take those figures with a pinch of salt, because if you look at things like the Baidu Migration Index, that takes into account the movement of people around the country, about 50% of the workforce is still like not back to work. So although most companies are open, they might be experiencing labor shortages, which is going to contribute to an overall lackluster productivity. But China is at least slowly getting back to normal. And there's something that other economies that are currently going through lockdowns can look forward to as well.
Indonesia has slashed its growth forecasts and introduced emergency fiscal measures to tackle the effects of the pandemic. Carlos, how badly do you expect their economy to be hit, and in what kind of ways?
Well, they slashed their growth forecasts by almost half. Previously, the government was expecting the economy to grow by around 5.3%, which was a little bit too optimistic in the current context, in our opinion, so we had a lower figure of 4%. But most of Southeast Asia had been spared from large, broad cases of coronavirus. So Indonesia and other parts of Southeast Asia are now starting to see an increase in the number of cases in those markets, and they are going to be less prepared compared to other parts of Asia to manage that crisis. So we do see some significant downside pressure on growth for Indonesia, with GDP expected to come out maybe much weaker, around 2% this year, if there is a deterioration in the number of cases there. The good news is that they do have a little bit of room. They've announced some fiscal measures, but they're small compared to the fiscal measures that other countries such as Australia, China, Japan, South Korea have implemented. So there is still some room both on the monetary and on the fiscal policy fronts, which should contribute to a lessening of that impact throughout the rest of the year.
All right, Carlos, let's move down under. Australian shares in Australia have tumbled, and Moody's has downgraded their banks to negative. Is the Australian economy moving into a bleak period, and are they facing a recession?
The Australian economy will not contract in 2020, but they are facing pressures, potentially some negative growth in Q1 and in Q2, as a result of not only the coronavirus outbreak, but remember that in Australia we had bushfires in the end of last year, beginning of this year, which had a very detrimental impact on the agricultural sector, but also on the country's capital stock, and there was huge infrastructure damages. So that is not going to bode well for the Australian economy in Q1 and in Q2, adding to existing headwinds. Another thing to keep in mind is that China will contract sharply in Q1, and although China is going back to normal, as we've discussed, there will be some pressure for the remainder of the year. Growth will be the lowest it's been in more than 30 years. Australia is a large commodity exporter to China, and they're quite exposed to Chinese demand. So pressures coming from that Asian market will also contribute to a much weaker outlook for the Australian economy in 2020 and overall. That's what's adding to all of this pressure for the Australian economy, even though, as I mentioned earlier, we don't expect that to translate into negative growth for the whole year.
All right, Carlos, thanks for spending the time with us this morning. That was Carlos Casanova, Chief Asia Economist at Coface, based out of Hong Kong.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.